From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of October 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson from TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. I'll detail for you how the government shutdown, the federal government shutdown, will impact USDA and its agencies. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. And there you can also find a way to make a donation in support of the ag programming. That's at willgive.org or WILLAG.org, either website. Look for the donate button at the top of the page. And thank you.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, now joins us to talk about the marketplace. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us. First, let's start with yesterday's USDA report. You remember those, I think. I was out of the office working near Hoopston with a farmer there helping out on the farm, harvesting some soybeans, and didn't really get a chance to hear what the trade thought about that. I did see that it ended up putting a couple hundred million more bushels on the corn ending stocks. What happened?
Yeah, the number that came out was raised from what the traders were thinking. The traders thought it would be about 1.3 billion bushel ending stocks number, similar to last year. The government came out with 1.53, almost 200 million bushels higher than the average trade guess. That's still lower than where we were for last year's crop at this point. They thought last year's crop ending stocks number was 1.7. So 1.5 is less than 1.7, but it's still higher than what we thought, than what the trade thought at 1.3. So the bigger stocks number was responsible for the weakness in corn yesterday. As far as beans are concerned, the ending stocks number came in a little bit actually lower than what the trade was thinking. Trade was thinking 323, and the ending stocks number was 316 million bushels. So that's a little friendly, but without the demand from China, I think the trade feels like we can get by with a little bit less. So that contributed to the weakness yesterday in soybeans as well. And then to throw the last number, wheat production came out yesterday at 1.985 billion bushels. Average trade guess was 1.925. So bigger than what any of the traders thought. And wheat made a new contract low yesterday. So all three reports, the corn stocks number, the bean stocks number, and the wheat production number, all were interpreted bearishly by the traders yesterday. And that's following through as well today.
Interpreted bearishly by the traders, however, not so much different than what USDA had reported in its September figures for the incoming ending stocks, or those that will be on hand for this marketing year we have now entered. Not very different at all for corn, down, 14 million bushels or something like that for soybeans. Not particularly different for soybeans. If we were to have a USDA crop production report in October, and right now we won't unless we have the settlement of things in Washington, D.C., and the federal government reopens, those numbers would show up as the ending stocks for this past year. Again, not much of a change there. But the trade, still thinking they're off by some, and I guess we're at the guidance of the trade now. And this was a bearish number because it was bigger than what they expected, and tells them that USDA was more correct than wrong when we went through that September figure?
I think so. I think that's right. And the USDA ending stocks number in the September crop report was 2.1 billion bushels. And so even if the traders are correct in thinking that the USDA needs to lower that yield of 186.7 down to something like 184 or 185, they probably will lower feed demand as well, based on the higher stocks number from this report yesterday. So the one offsets the other. And so even if you lower the yield, you'll probably lower the demand, and you'll still end up with somewhere around a 2 billion bushel carryout if the government would happen to release an October supply and demand report. So it's hard to get too friendly on corn. The market feels comfortable right where it is. You know, we have rallied 30, 40 cents off of the August 12th low when that August 12th crop report came out, and the USDA issued that astounding 188.8 yield on corn. We made a low of December corn that day at 392. Since then, we've rallied up to 431, and now we've given back 20 cents, and we're exactly right in the middle of that 40-cent range. We're right at 411 December futures. So I think the corn market feels comfortable unless we see something that we don't know about, and that could be something like ethanol exports could pick up. It could be a much lower Iowa corn yield than what we are thinking right now. But the bottom line is 2 billion bushels is plenty. It's comfortable. And I think it's just a reminder to farmers that we need to sell those rallies. You know, when we rally up to that, the old highs anywhere around 425, 430 with a 2 billion bushel carryout, it's hard to expect prices to be much higher than that.
I spent the day yesterday on the farm hauling soybeans. I was working with a farmer near Hoopston, about 10 miles to the northwest, pretty close to the Indiana border. However, I was really interested on the way up that I didn't see combines moving at all, but that was fairly early in the morning, and I suspect they were waiting for soybeans in our area. But there may have been three running in the area, which surprised me. I thought things would be moving a lot quicker than that. Still waiting, I guess. What has your income been like? What has the traffic at the elevator been like the last few days?
I think we peaked out on our soybean deliveries yesterday. I think yesterday will be our busiest day. And from here on out, we'll start to see people finish up on soybeans, a few every day. It'll still be a big, heavy bean week this week, but by the weekend, I think a lot of people will be done, and I think they'll be able to switch right over into corn. We've already had reports of corn down around 14% coming right out of the field, similar to the beans coming right out of the field at 9%. So everything's just drying too fast. There's no rain in the forecast for the foreseeable future. And so I think farmers are just going to switch right over from beans to corn. And I think this is a bean week. Next week will be a corn week. But as far as yields are concerned, we don't know where the beans are coming from, given how little rain we've had the last 45 days. Farmers are just amazed on good ground. Now, I will say on some lighter timber soil ground, and if you didn't get rain, that's a bad combination. And we are hearing bean yields in the 50s on that kind of a ground. But on the better ground, there's a lot of bean yields in the 70s and every once in a while some in the 80s. So we definitely wouldn't have expected those kind of yields in East Central Illinois, given the lack of rain over the last 45 days. But and I think the other thing to remember is we are in one of the drier pockets. I think if you get to Bloomington, McLean County, and then on west and north, they had more rain than we did this summer. And I think the yields will probably reflect that as we start to hear those yields. So, you know, we can't trade our own backyard, unfortunately. If everybody's crop was as poor and variable as ours, you know, the market might respond. But I just think we're in a pocket here. And even that pocket, so far, the bean yields have been much better than what we would have thought.
I'll be headed to the farm this afternoon in Logan County near Springfield. I know that yields there, both corn and soybeans, have been very, very good, surprisingly good, I think, given the lack of rainfall at the end of the season. Nothing like here, but Logan County in that south west corner was on the very edge of the drought areas. I'm wondering, as you think about this for producers in the area, particularly I think for soybeans because they come across the scale, what have they been asking you mostly? And I suspect it is, what do I do with these beans now that I've got them across the scale?
Yeah, the carries are so wide in the beans that the market is telling farmers that if you have bin storage to store the beans. almost 80 cent cash carry in the soybean market from fall to next summer. So the market's saying store the beans. Unfortunately, if you don't have storage, the elevators are charging, almost the entire carry. So you're not going to come out ahead unless the overall price of beans rallies on the board of trade. The basis will definitely improve 50 cents between now and spring, but the DP charges are probably going to be 40 or 45 cents of that. So you're really not going to come out ahead unless the overall futures price goes up. So farmers are asking what to do about beans. And, if you've got bins, you store them. And if you don't, you might want to sell the beans to pay some bills and maybe hang on to the corn, because with the export demand, the ethanol demand, at least you can kind of paint a possible rosier outlook for corn prices. Bean prices, until we get a deal done with China, and that doesn't sound like that's going to happen anytime soon, I think the trade feels like we can get by with less beans than, even though the carryout's relatively tight at around 300 million bushels, that the trade doesn't seem to be too worried about that until China shows back up again. So sell the beans, hang on to the corn, and keep in mind that even corn rallies are going to be limited. So, be realistic when you look at the charts and where you put your offers in at.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again tomorrow for Commodity Week.
Sounds good, Todd. Thanks.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. In today's agricultural news, here's how the federal government shutdown is expected to impact the United States Department of Agriculture. The 2025 USDA shutdown contingency plan estimates about 42,000 staff, or roughly half the agency's employees, will be furloughed starting today. Mission-critical activities like food safety inspections and lab operations will continue. Non-mandatory data collection and most research will cease. The department submitted its tentative shutdown contingency plan to the Office of Management and Budget, and it does include a reduction in force or RIF provision, although there are no other details about which employees might be RIFed or permanently let go during the shutdown. The USDA plan suspends the majority of activities at the Risk Management Agency, Natural Resources Conservation Service, and NAS, or the National Agricultural Statistics Service, among others. The reports paused or not issued include the monthly USDA crop production and world and agricultural supply and demand estimates. Other activities that would stop include payment processing, regulatory work, and animal and plant pest and disease surveys. Now, during a shutdown, most employees are furloughed. This will include about 6,400 of the approximately 9,500 FSA employees. Should the shutdown last more than 10 days, one Farm Service Loan Officer and one County FSA Office Farm Program employee per center are expected to be on call. Nutrition programs may also face disruptions during a shutdown. The nation's largest food aid program, or SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, will continue with the Office of Management and Budget issuing reserve funding as needed. However, the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, may face disruptions if the shutdown lasts longer than a week due to low funds. The USDA contingency plan also warns that during a shutdown, states may run out of funds to perform meat and poultry inspections under cooperative agreements with the agency. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Our theme music is written and performed courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org, where you'll find the latest information from the agricultural economist, the crop scientist, and the animal scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Speaking of the crop scientist, I caught up with them recently and talked with Connor Sybil. He's in crop sciences and has been studying soybeans. I asked him to tell me just a little bit about the research he's been doing.
First thing we've been looking at, because there's a lot of talk about it, planting date, the value of early planting, that holds true. It doesn't win every year going the earliest, but it still holds pretty high yield levels and potentials. An advantage there as well is you could put the beans in a little earlier, maybe colder, when we wouldn't want to be putting in the corn. And then when the prime windows come up, we can get the corn in, get it off to a good start. So we're seeing a good trade-off there. So early planted soybean, a little bit behind then that is how do you manage early soybean versus traditionally planting it after the corn. We're seeing actually like fertilizer responses or tend to be a little better on the later planted. A little counterintuitive. You think early planting, higher yield, better response potential. But when you're planted late, they grow so fast, the soil can't keep up. So that's some of the fertilizer work we've been seeing on soybeans.
Is this the nitrogen work that you've been thinking about? Because I hear about that all the time, but I'm not sure that that's what you're talking about.
Yep. So the nitrogen work would be Dr. Giovanni Prezafontes and Dr. Emerson Navziger working on some nitrogen on soybeans, inconclusive in spots. We're looking mostly at phosphorus. Applications in the springtime on that.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure we got that out because I knew that sometimes you hear about nitrogen work and farmers can be, oh, I should put nitrogen on soybeans. The answer is no, not yet. But you're working on something entirely different.
Correct. Phosphorus and then sulfur. And some of the sulfur comes with nitrogen, but really it's sulfur response that we're seeing there. Yep.
Anything else before I let you go?
Harvest is coming up. Seed size looks like it might be a little smaller this year. So my big thing for the farmers is walk behind those combines and make sure we're getting as much seed. Harvest loss is on my mind going into the next few weeks with the seed size I think we're going to have corn and beans.
Connor Sybil is a crop scientist based here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You may hear Connor again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Thank you, Drew, for being with us. Let's not start here because I think things are dry and for harvest, that's okay. We'll come back to that in a minute, but rather start in South America where they are in the midst of their planting seasons. I would think that Brazilian farmers ought to be moving. Did they get a little rain and are they still getting rain?
You know, when we got to mid-September, we got had about a week there where there were some scattered showers and thunderstorms that occurred. And certainly the precipitation that evolved was really good where it did occur, but it wasn't well distributed. And that was a week ago, maybe a little more than that. And it's been very warm since then. We've lost all that moisture. The ground is very short once again. So that whatever crop was planted and may have germinated, but it's probably not doing very well right now. And outside of that, I think any new planting is going to have to be dependent upon rains returning. Well, we have 10 days of dry weather still ahead here, and it's going to continue to be very warm to hot. So it won't be much longer, and you're going to hear a lot of noise coming out of Brazil because of the lack of moisture. It looks very much like last year, to be honest with you. So the earliest that we will start getting some rain to fall will probably be in the second weekend of the forecast, so 10 days plus from now. And from really the second half of October, we'll start doing a little bit better. I don't think we're going to be quite as dry as we were last year, but we're still going to have a slow evolution towards better rainfall. And in the meantime, it's pretty wet in southern Brazil. Some of the wheat crop down there is going to go through filling and maturation here soon in Rio Grande do Sul, and so they're going to need some drier weather soon down that way to protect that crop. But early season corn planting has the first season corn crop is off to a great start in the southern part of the country because it is raining periodically down there.
Anything that we should discuss for Argentina for the day?
You know, for Argentina, it just looks really darn good. The moisture profile is adequate to surplus. There was some local flooding over the past couple of weeks, but it doesn't look like we're in a position where we're going to see a lot of that just persisting. I think we'll get alternating periods of rain and sunshine to occur. There may be a little bit of a slowdown because of that, but I think the overall bottom line is Argentina is going to be off and running very well for both wheat and barley, as well as sunseed and early season corn planting, which are underway.
About a week from now, farmers will be thinking to themselves, I sure would like to have a rain for two reasons. One, I'd like to be out of the field for a couple of days because I've been working really hard. And secondly, because things dry down so fast, they need a little moisture to bring crop moistures back up while they're harvesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that we're going to see some brief moments of light precipitation. We have to wait until the middle to latter part of next week for that to occur, with the exception of the Dakotas, where there will be a little bit of rain this weekend. But the heart of the Midwest, probably have to wait for Tuesday through Thursday of next week. A little frontal system will cut through the region. We'll get some showers to occur with that. No big soaking, but we will settle the dust and probably put just a little bit of improved topsoil moisture in some areas. I think Michigan, parts of northern Indiana, maybe southern Wisconsin, and the northernmost counties of Illinois will probably do best with that event. Now, central Illinois is really quite dry. And so is the north, for that matter, but it doesn't look like we're going to get much moisture in central parts of the state. The second frontal system will bring another opportunity for rain around. That one occurs at the end of next week, and there's a lot of cool air coming in behind that, so there might be a potential we might do a little bit better with rain, but it's too far out in time right now to see how well the Gulf of Mexico will be, or Gulf of America will be open for a moisture source at that point. So we'll be watching it. I don't think it's going to be quite as dry as it has been. It certainly won't be as hot as it has been after we get to the first half of next week.
Other places around the planet you're watching?
Yeah, there's a handful. The lower Danube River Basin in southeastern Europe has been dry for a long time, but they're going to get a good soaking rain for the next week or so. Probably 1 to 3 inches of rain would be perfect for them for improving the wheat and rapeseed planting environment. And then China is probably of interest. That's probably going to grow a little bit as we go forward through the next week because it is getting too wet. They've had problems with too much moisture in the Yellow River Basin periodically over these past few weeks. They were starting to dry down, but now we've got more rain coming into the region from south to north. And over the next week, we're probably going to see 2 to 4, maybe some 5-inch amounts. And the southern half of that region is excessively wet down deep into the ground. So there's no way that that area is not going to have some delay in both the harvest of summer crops as well as the planting of winter wheat. So we'll be watching that area. And then in India, we're also watching a problem with moisture abundance. Normally this time of the year, the monsoon has pulled out of the northern half of the country, but it is still raining in central and northern areas. And we've got quite a few soybeans and groundnut crops and even cotton that are vulnerable to a quality decline because of too much moisture. And it will rain off and on for another 7 days. But after that, we should see drier weather.
Thank you much, Drew. We'll talk with you soon.
You bet. Have a good in-between time.
That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. If you'd like to hear the program again, you can do that in a couple of ways. You can find it at WILLAG.org. Just click and listen from the website or search it out by name in your favorite podcast applications, including Apple, Spotify, on YouTube, as well as in the NPR One app. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.